It's good to have everybody here. My name is Abe Miller, if you don't know who I am. I'm pastor here at Sailorville. And super, super excited. I really, really look at this as a privilege to be able to talk to you guys, to get all the guys into a church, and to just share the topic that nobody knows about, that nobody has told you about, but I will tell you what the topic is, just not right now, okay? But, no, really super excited. I think it's an awesome opportunity. The leaders, the spiritual leaders of the church and of your home, to be able to get everybody together to talk about things. And Kevin challenged us last week about leadership in the home and leadership amongst our families and stuff, and just a great opportunity. So thanks for coming. We have plenty of seats, so we shouldn't have anybody sitting in the back today and on the floor and around the corner and into the kitchen like last week. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Lord, thanks just for the opportunity to be able to come together as a bunch of guys. And Lord, it's super, super encouraging to be a part of a body of guys that want to learn and want to grow and want to live for you, not just talk about spiritual things, not just be really heady and knowledgeable, Lord, but that we would be men that would truly love you and truly want to follow you and not just talk about it, but live it out in our actions. And Lord, I'm sure there's lots of guys here that are struggling and hurting, and there's marriages and there's issues and there's pornography issues and there's sin issues and depression and there's great joys, and I'm sure there's a wide variety of people here. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of us individually where we're at and what we're going through, and that your word would cut to our hearts, and that we would hopefully leave tonight changed and better men, and encouraging one another and spurring one another on to live more like you and to be more like you. And we just thank you for your son. As we talk about all the issues, we're just so thankful for your son and what that means to have salvation, what it means to be born again. We're so thankful for that. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The topic that I have been given to me is accountability and friendship, authenticity. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. And in the midst of all of that, just having a group of guys like this, obviously, as I was talking about before, there's obviously issues going on. There's obviously people struggling. There's obviously sin things going on. There's joy things going on. And we live in a world where that stuff is just rampant. You hear about it all the time. You hear about people struggling with pornography. You hear people struggling with having affairs, relationships, kids, struggles, husband, wife, work issues, all of these things. And yet, on the flip side, we hear of all of the wonderful joys, and even here at Sailorville, all of the wonderful things that are going on. And I'm just super excited to be able to talk to you and to share this idea of coming alongside one another, coming alongside each other and the brothers in Christ, and to challenge one another. I just think it's something that we talk about unity and we talk about team, but then a lot of times we get in a group like this and people are like, I don't really know you and you don't know me and I don't know if I really care about you, but I'm supposed to. And how does that look, and how do I gain those relationships? Because we talk about relationships all the time. I mean, we're talking about relationships, and I want relationships. Being one of my roles on staff here is to be over the cell groups. And that's something that I constantly hear as I talk to people, is we're just dying for good, godly relationships. We just had a couple that came back, moved back to the area, and they had told me, they said, it's been 2 years since we've had any type of Christian conversation, anything that has anything remotely to do with spiritual things. And they were just dying to get back and to have spiritual conversations with people. But we have all of these things going on, and obviously we know in 1 Peter 5, where it talks about, be self-controlled, be alert, the devil is roaming about looking whom he may devour. You know, and obviously Satan would love nothing more than to see Sailorville, which is growing. We're seeing people come to Christ. We're seeing all sorts of exciting things. And to see Satan to come in and be like, would just love to see there to be disunity, to be loneliness, to be all of those things in there. But praise God for the gospel, right? Praise God for what the gospel means to us and what Christ did on the cross. Changes our outlook on life. It should change how we look at life, how we look at relationships, how we look at one another, and what the Bible talks about having relationships and loving one another because of Christ. And in that talks about that in 1 John 4, right? It talks about how we only love because God first loved us and sent his son. That's how we love, is because of Christ, not because we put a bunch of stuff together and make it all work out. But the gospel is that thing that unifies us in this room, hopefully, Lord willing. Or there may be people here that don't know Christ. But for the majority of the people that are here tonight, we have unity in Christ. And that's an amazing thing. When we look at teams, how many of you have ever been on a team of some sort, whether that's sports or whatever? I mean, almost everybody in this room has been on a team. I've been on a lot of teams. The worst thing is to be on a team where, like, the one person's not a team player. It absolutely drives me crazy. It's the worst thing possible, because it's like you don't care about the team. You only care about yourself. And it's like, we are a team. We do this stuff together. We run together. We work together. We practice together. We lose together. We win together. And I really want to try to build that even tonight as we look at this group of guys, as I'm looking out here going, we are in one of the biggest battles of our lives. Every day we wake up, and we're in one of the biggest battles of our lives when it comes to our relationship with Christ and the sin and flesh and Satan and the world, and all of that is just going around us, and we are in a huge battle in our spiritual walk with our wives, with our kids, with all the relationships that we have. But yet we want to be able to come together and say we are for one another. We love one another. We want to see one another go on for Christ and to live for Christ on a daily basis. Yet I think that looks really good in theory and looks really good on paper. But I would ask the question, are we as Sailorville doing that? Are we encouraging one another? Are we loving one another and spurring one another on? Just ask yourself that question real quickly. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Are we loving and encouraging the brothers here at Sailorville? I think we are. I think we can do better. I think we can all look at it and go, okay, what do I have in Christ? What do we have unity in Christ? And how can that be translated into spurring one another on? The whole idea of the band of brothers is really that idea, is to say, you know what, we are in this fight together, we are a team, we are unified because of the gospel, and how can we encourage one another to do that? Friends are a great thing, aren't they? Friends are a good thing. Friends, you know, you can watch football with you, they help you move. They're there when you have troubles. They're there to, like, hey, let's go on a trip together. Some of you have, like, thousands of them on your Facebook account, okay? Hundreds and hundreds of Facebook friends. And we all have friends. We all have people that we've talked to, that we hang out with maybe, that we go on trips with, that we do things. They've helped you. You've worked on cars. You've built stuff. You've cried with. You've laughed with. We'd all say we have a lot of friends. We have a lot of good buddies. Now, my question is this. Who do you have who is someone that you would say is this person I can share my life with and share my heart with and talk about anything with? I'm not talking acquaintance. I'm not talking about we get along. But we sit down and we have in-depth, spiritual, heartfelt conversation. It's not about football. It's not about things that don't matter, but about real spiritual issues that are going on in my life. How many of those people do you have? Some of you are going, I don't have any. Some of you maybe have maybe one, maybe two, but I think we have this idea that, like, oh, we all have these all these awesome friends, and we're just super, super tight. And really to look at it and go, what kind of relationships do we have? What kind of relationships are we investing in and challenging one another? Because I think it's very easy, and I'm totally guilty, I'll be the first one to tell you, it's very easy to have conversations and sit around and just be like, hey, way to go, Packers. You know, you're going to beat the Bears. Yeah, great. How's work? Good. You know, everything's great, and I'm doing okay. And how are you? Yep. Are you playing basketball on Saturday? Yep, I'll be there. Okay. And I really want to say, man, life is way more than football. We would all say that. Life is way more than those peripheral things. And when we get down to it, that conversation that we're having, are we spurring one another on? And that's really the verse that, to me, this is the verse. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that is really the idea behind this, okay? Is to, how do we spur one another on? How do we say, let's go, I'm getting behind you, I'm that team player that's saying, you know, even when you're, those of you that have been in sports and stuff, you know, you're running drills during practice and you're ready to die and puke and you just want to go home and there's the buddy sitting next to you just yelling at you like, come on, dude, you can do it, come on, keep going, you're almost there, you're almost there. I don't know about you, that's super helpful, that's super encouraging to have those people next to you saying, come on, you can go, let's go, you can do it, you can do it. But what we're looking at for is the idea of relationships. When I say the word accountability, you all just had this definition in your mind, okay? When we say the accountability, you all had this definition in your mind to say, oh boy, accountability. What does that mean when he says accountability? Because I think a lot of people would say accountability means, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to number off, and you two guys are going to be accountability partners, okay? So there goes, share your sin and all your problems, and you two guys, you don't know each other, but you're going to be together, and you guys share your problems and issues and all your, you know, your garbage that you have. And I think that's the idea of some people have that of accountability is like, okay, we're going to sit down, we're going to share all our dirty laundry with each other. And that's really not what we want to say when we talk about accountability and when it comes to authenticity. We don't want that to be the idea when it comes to how we spur one another on. Okay? In Hebrews 12, or in Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How do we do that? Just ask yourself, how do we do that? We have things set up in the church and we meet together and we have cell groups, we have friends. But how do we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? I mean, that's a question that I've been asking myself. It's like, how do we do that? And we're commanded in Scripture to love one another. We're encouraged in Scripture to do that. And yet, I would probably say the majority of us, we kind of just walk by each other. And that shouldn't be in a body. I mean, on a team, you get to know your teammates, right? You get to understand them. You know who they are. You build relationships with them because we are a team. We are doing this together. We are in a battle together for our own lives, for our marriages, for our kids, for our grandkids, for the next generation. We are in this together, and we are fighting together. Hebrews 3, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I want to ask you guys that question again. How many of you have a good, solid male friend that is authentic and real with you and encourages you? I know for me, I can say I have a lot of friends. I know a lot of you. I could name a lot of you by name, and I have had good conversations with you. But when you ask me, hey, Abe, how many like real, authentic friends do you have that's going to step into your life and ask you the tough questions, even though there's times like, oh, I don't really want you to ask me the tough question, but I need the tough questions, or to encourage me when I'm down. How many of those do I have? Maybe two. Maybe. two people that I would say that would do that to me, and go back to them and talk to them about those things. The problem with secluding ourselves, the problem with saying, no, I'm okay, and I think this is a guy thing, I don't know, it's probably a pride thing that says, I'm okay. Don't worry about me, I'm okay. I'm fine. I don't have any problems. I'm okay. You know, we have this idea like, you know, I'm not going to ask for directions. I'm not going to tell you I was wrong. I'm not going to admit that I was wrong or that I have a problem there. I'll figure it out. Don't you worry about me. We need to be very careful on that, because that can get, we can get really start to get pride built in there and say, I don't need it. I'm fine. I've got Jesus, which is true, which is a very good thing. And that is completely true, that our hope is in Christ, and that is where we find our hope, and the Holy Spirit working in our lives, for sure. But there's also that idea to say there's somebody that comes alongside and challenges you. I kind of look at it as the band of brothers idea. I kind of look at it as a, if I was going to battle, if you were going to battle, how many of you guys are like vets, or are actually in the armed services now, or are vets? Okay. My grandpa was in World War II, and my uncle was in the Marines, and my dad was in the Army, and I love Army stories and Army movies and stuff, and the concept of it is crazy to me. God didn't call me to be a soldier in that way, but way to go for you guys, because it's an amazing thing to me to watch that. But I just think of it as this: I'm going out to this battle, and I walk into this room, and I have all of these tools around me that I'm saying, okay, I need these things. You know, I've got my Bible, and you know, I pull that off and throw it in my backpack, and I've got, you know, my sword, and I've got prayer, and I've got all these things, but I'm looking at it as I'm going into this room, and it's like this arsenal of weapons, right? There's all these things that I can grab, and it's like, what can I do that I can take with me that's going to help me in this battle every day as I wake up in the morning? I need the Word of God, I need the prayer, but I also need the church, and I need brothers, and I need cell group, and all of those things. That all of those things are tools that are going to help me, because the problem with seclusion is, guess what? When I start to pull myself away from the Word and from church and from other believers, all I start to see is myself. And when I look at myself, all I see is I'm doing really well, because I got no one else challenging me. The Word's not challenging me. I don't have other friends coming in and saying, hey, Abe, what about this or what about that? And I need that. That's a good thing, because guess what? God uses other people to challenge us. God uses other people to step into our lives and give us a word that says, man, I've never thought of it like that. I've never looked at it that way before. I totally needed to hear that. And when I look at it that way, it's a wonderful thing, because God's using somebody in my life to challenge me. All right. If you got your Bibles, turn to Galatians. All of you are asking the questions, is he ever going to open the Bible? Like, man, he's just talking the whole time. We are. And you're going to get to share too as well, so be thinking. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please a sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the appropriate time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That those last two verses there, let us let us not become weary in doing good, for at the appropriate time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Flip over to Proverbs 27. And this is a familiar passage. A lot of you know. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When that's happening, when that's going on, you're both growing, you're both being sharpened, you're both spurring one another on. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and we need that. We need that sharpening of one another, because when that happens, we become more like Christ. And God uses those people and men in your life to make you more and more like Christ. I want to ask you guys, what are some verses, and I want you to share, okay? What are some verses that talk about encouraging one another, spurring one another on, loving one another? What are some verses, and find them and read them. What are some verses that you would know in your own life that just talk about loving one another, loving the brother, encouraging one another towards love and good deeds? Who's got one? Anybody? Those are all great, great verses. I had a lot of those. Did anyone say Proverbs 11:25? A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I love that one. There's several verses, passages in Proverbs talk about. This one says, Proverbs 24:6, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Just the idea of counsel and getting people around you. There's several that talk about that. So those are all good. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. There's lots of verses that talk about the idea of coming alongside, loving each other, encouraging each other, and that's the challenge to do. And I think a lot of times the idea of accountability is to air our dirty laundry to everybody. It's not what we're saying. I think a lot of times that's the idea is to say, you know, I don't want to get together with those guys because if I ask them a question, then they're going to turn around and ask me. And that's what happens a lot of times, is you get into groups and it's like, I'm not doing so hot in that topic right now, so I'm not going to bring it up. And I'm not going to talk about it, because if I bring it up, then they're going to come back and ask me, and then I'm going to have to say, I'm not doing well there either. So that that's not good, and that happens. But we need to... The idea of that accountability is really to say, remember who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. You're a child of the King, living for the King, with hopefully a heart surrendered to live for Christ. And I want to come alongside of you and to say, as a brother and as someone that's in, if this is somebody in your life, they come alongside of you and to say, listen, remember who you are in Christ. You want to do those things. You want to follow after Christ. You've been saved. You've been justified. And now God is moving you through these things. And yes, you might have failed in that area, but praise God for forgiveness. Praise God for his grace and mercy in our lives. And we can move forward to become more and more like Christ. That's the whole idea of the sanctification process, is those things come in our life, but because of it, I become more and more like Christ, and it's a slow, steady process. And if I can look back over a year or two or three or four, and you look back and you go, man, God's changing me. And people have stepped into my life, and God's changing me, and things have happened in my life, and God is changing me, and my heart and my desires are to follow after Christ. And when that person comes alongside of you and says, way to go, Mike, safely, good job, I'm seeing God working in your heart. Man, doesn't that encourage you? It's like, man, God, someone else seeing God working in my heart. I need that, and you need that to come alongside. I've saved every single encouragement card I've ever gotten since I've been in ministry. That's not for me to go, wow, Abe, you are a great pastor. No, that's not what that's for. That's for when things aren't going so hot. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, okay, God, you are using me. There's a little bit of there. There's a little bit of encouragement, and you're pushing one another along, and you're saying, come on, let's go. I know we're not perfect. Nobody in this room is perfect. Nobody's saying they got the whole Christian life figured out. It's not going to happen. And nobody in this room is going to say we got perfect marriage and we got perfect kids and all of those things. No, it's not going to happen. But what we can say is, listen, we're a child of the King, and we're going to push each other, and we're going to encourage each other, and we're going to challenge each other. And sometimes that means I need to come with a loving word because someone just needs to be loved. And other times, I need to come with a strong word because they need to hear that, because that's what Scripture says. And each relationship is different. And I think that the idea of that is, I think it can be really broad when it comes to this whole idea of encouragement and accountability, because we right here can encourage each other and challenge each other. And then maybe in your cell group, it goes a little bit deeper. There's a little bit more tightness. There's a little bit more, you know, doing life together in your cell group. And then even that, there might be that one person, that might be there might be those two people in your life that are, man, like, whoa, I share my heart with this guy and kind of lay it on the table, and he lays it out there too, and we really challenge each other. That doesn't mean that these things over here are bad. It doesn't mean that these things can't be challenging. I'll tell you what, we were at a pastor deacon retreat this last weekend. Guys were saying stuff and sharing stuff, and I was like, oh man, that was super encouraging. That was super challenging. Now, those guys don't have a clue who they are or what they said, and I never said anything to them, but man, they were challenging me. They were impacting me. Same thing in our cell group. Guys in our cell group will say things, and I'm like, man, that was good. Man, I need to do that. They said something about their wife, and I'm like, yeah, wow. Haven't done that in a while. Or talking about praying with your wife, and oh, you know, someone in our other group says, oh man, I just need to spend time with my wife, praying with my wife. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, wow, I haven't been too consistent on that, have I? Even though they didn't say anything to me, just that idea of coming together and having spiritual conversation can be a huge, huge, huge encouragement to us. And that's why we would continually, obviously, pump the idea of coming together as a body, and we would continually pump the idea of cell group and getting together with other guys. Now listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't a cell group out there that has it all figured out and has perfect relationships, and they are just sharing, and it is intimate and great, and oh, it's just not happening. But let me tell you what, we're called to love one another, aren't we? We're called to love the brothers in Christ. We're called to love the sisters in Christ. So even though I might not like the same thing you like, or might not be excited about the same things you're excited about, I still can encourage you, and you can encourage me through the Scripture and through what God is doing in our lives. Okay, I want to hear from you guys again. Share some relationships in Scripture of friendships, deep relationships in Scripture. Just shout them out. Who are some buddies? Okay, Paul and Timothy, Jonathan and David, who else? Okay, John and Jesus, Moses and Aaron, good. Good. Man, Art, that was a good one. I didn't have that one. What's that? Okay, good, John and Gaius. Anybody else? You see these relationships in Scripture. You see these relationships of guys that come together and they have relationships, and they say, no, I need so-and-so to come with me. I need so-and-so to be there. I need so-and-so to come alongside of me to encourage me and to be there. I don't know if I've seen it any more played out than in our church plant. Pastor and Dave Heisterkamp are very close. They're very good friends, and they talk quite a bit, and they share quite a bit, and they're really, really good friends. And they talk about ministry, and they talk about life, and they talk about all that stuff. And then you have Dave Heisterkamp, who went with Josh Daggett up at Lakeside when Josh went up there. And those guys were like, they became brothers. They became very, very tight, very, very close, and were there for each other, and they challenged each other, and they sharpened one another, and they got into each other's lives and encouraged and built one another up when they needed to. And then Josh Daggett left, and Greg Pollock went with Josh Daggett down to Living Waters. And they have been that same type of relationship that just says they challenge each other. It's not just sitting here going, oh, yep, you'll be okay, yep, 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 you know, just stroking each other's back. It's not that mentality. It's man, I want to step in your life, and I want to share with what God's doing in my life, and how can we encourage each other and spur one another on to follow after Christ, to do the things of Christ. And it's just been very, very cool to watch that and to see that. And I actually called Josh Daggett the other day and just asked him about that. And he said, oh, man, he's like, it has been super, super encouraging to me as the pastor of that church to have Greg Pollock there. I mean, he's like, I love Greg. Greg has been a friend, a coworker, but also a guy that has stepped into Josh's life and has completely challenged him on a lot of levels. And that's been a huge thing for Josh. And he's just like, oh, I love it. You know, it's been awesome. I say all that just to say how friendships, we see that throughout Scripture, but then even in your own life, you can think of times where people have stepped into your life and challenged you and maybe given you a hard word or a loving word, and you're like, man, I so needed that right then. I so needed that. Just the other day, I had been talking with a guy who goes to church here, and I was just thinking about him, and I don't know, he's just on my mind. I was just like, oh, it's just been so cool to see him growing and God working in his heart. So I just sent him a quick text message. You know, hey, I'm super excited. He had helped me with some things, and thanks for doing that. And just super excited to see how God's working in your heart, see how you're moving. And I've known him for several years. Just to see you moving, I just said, hey, continue on, keep going, way to go. Well, he sent back a quick little thing. It wasn't much. But then I talked to him like a week or two later, and he was like, I didn't really think much of it. I was just like, eh, whatever. He came up to me later and was like, I haven't had an encouragement like that in 3 or 4 years. I was like, wow. I mean, I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, wow, okay. And man, you know, but I think we all would be able to say, if we were honest, we would all say, man, there's sometimes when I need someone to come alongside me and just to encourage me and to say, God is working in your heart. God is working in your life. God is working in your marriage. God is working in your relationships with your kids. And sometimes you need someone to come in there and slap you around a little bit and saying, you know better. I know you. You know better. You know that. That's not what it says in Scripture. And you need a good kick in the rear sometimes, not out of judgmental and I'm better than you. No, but it's coming along in love and saying, let's go. We are a team. We are a band of brothers to come alongside. And when someone does come alongside of you and give you that hard word, look at it as a gift from God and say, man, Lord, I needed that. Not as a defense and I'm going to put my walls up and all that stuff. And there's been several times, and I know pastors here, and I know pastors talk to me several times on different occasions throughout the years, and he'll pull me into my office or into his office and be like, you know, hey, you need to do this and this. And right away, I just want to, like, my wall comes up, right? Like, you don't know that. How do you know that? You haven't talked to me about that. And okay, all right, you know, and you leave, and God's like, he was dead on. You totally needed to hear that word right then, because your heart was starting to move away from that, and that pulled that back and said, all right, come on. What would it look like for us as a group, for a band of brothers, to be able to say that we genuinely care and love one another, and we want to spur one another on towards good works. Whatever that may mean to evangelism, to outreach, to your relationships, to your marriage, to your kids, to your reading, to working out, to whatever that may be, but that we are here as a team and say, you know what, this idea of being by yourself, I'm just going to kind of be over here in the corner. That should never be. It should never be. We should be able to say, you know what? We are going to wrap our arms and we're going to pull each other together and we're going to love one another. But I wonder what that would be for all of us to be able to say that, to say, hey, I've got someone in my life. we're maybe not there, but man, we encourage each other. We challenge each other. We step into each other's life. And that's really what cell group is for. I mean, that's, and I'm not saying you got to be super deep and intimate with your cell group. That sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't, but we can encourage each other. We can challenge one another. For the last 15 minutes, I want to open up, have a testimony, kind of a story time. And I would just like for you guys to maybe just share from your own personal experience times in your lives where a couple of things. Either someone stepped in with a very, very encouraging, timely word in your own life that was just huge to you. Or on the other side, someone stepped in with a hard, tough word that maybe hurt a little bit. But as you look back at it, you go, man, God so used that in my life and was such a challenge to me. Or if you have another comment about this, or maybe a group that you're in now and just how God's been using that in your life and in the people's lives that you're in even now. Maybe it's a cell group story. But this is just story time. So who's going to start us off with just a word of encouragement and just to encourage us as other brothers? Chris Hay, hold on for the microphone. Don't talk yet.
This is actually, at the time, wasn't encouraging, but this was probably a turning point in my life when God made me realize I needed to evaluate myself in a spiritual manner. A non-believer had to say this to me, and God really used it powerfully. I was working at Carl's, and my boss at the time nicknamed me Punky. And one day, I was really doubting something, and I was really being negative. And he said, I'm going to nickname you Pessimistic Punky because you are really pessimistic. And, I mean, it was like he could have shot me, and it would have hurt every bit as much. But I went back to my office, and I sat down, and I thought about it. And I was pretty broken over it. But God used that in a non-believer to really turn me towards him and make me think about my life and to realize that if I'm going to be a testimony for Christ, I can't have that kind of an attitude. I need to change my attitude to a more positive attitude.
Hmm. Thanks, Chris. Somebody else.
I think one time in my life that I was really encouraged dealt with coming off the mission field in Ecuador, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, if I would stay in the ministry. It was really uncertain. And a guy that had come down, his name is Paul Holritz, a very humble guy, a teacher, was teaching at another Bible college down in Tennessee. And, you know, nobody was calling me and say, hey, come here or there. But he called me up, and he said, Chuck, I think I might be able to find a position for you to teach. I could really use your help. And I didn't know if that would ever work out or not. He didn't know that for sure. But when I hung up the phone, it meant the world to me that someone was concerned about where I might end up. And I ended up going there, and he's still a close friend of mine, but I'll never forget what he did in that one telephone call. I wasn't sure it would work out, but what an encouragement he was to me just by thinking of me and to see if I might have a position there.
Thanks.
For me, it wasn't so much one specific instance. It's just when I first started coming to church up here, I was college age, and I grew up in a Christian home, but wasn't really rooted deep. And Lucas Baer opened up his life as the college pastor, and not only that, opened up his house, gave me a place to live with him and his wife. And, you know, I didn't appreciate that much until I got married and had my own house and had a kid that age. I was like, wow, I can't imagine allowing a college kid to live in my basement. I mean, just having the other perspective now, and I know that could probably be echoed by others that are in that college group. I look at how many couples are now married and have kids within this church and outside the church because of that ministry. So not only my life, but I'm sure others as well.
Yeah, cool.
You talk about accountability and all that stuff, and my life has taken a crazy twist the last few years, and I think most of you probably know my story, but I won't go into great gory details, but I will say this much. I was part of a cell group in this church. I still am. But I was part of a cell group of guys and of families, but these guys really loved me, and this church loved me, and they show God's love towards me, but I was at a point in my life where I was totally walking away from God, going the wrong direction, and even be a part of a cell group, but got unplugged from the cell group, got church discipline, and I was basically walking away from God, and come home from work one day, and all the guys in my cell group were at my house, and they were waiting to talk to me, and they had every right to be there talking to me, and normally I probably would have tossed them all off the porch, but Todd Frank was there, and you know, Todd, that wouldn't happen, but anyway, God just, at that point, said, okay, you need to listen to these guys. And I invited a man, and they'll come down to my office, and man, those guys give me some pretty hardcore brotherly love. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for guys like Jeff Hardy, Mike Safely, Ken Klug. All these guys get into my life and want to know how I'm doing. And it's genuine brotherly love. It's the way God intended it to be. And without going into all the details, God really spoke to me through those guys and my pastor and my sister, my other pastor, Pastor Kevin. And you know, since that time, it's just, you know, it's been a rough road. It's been a rough road. Sin has consequences. And I've been on the sidelines, kind of just, okay, Lord, I'm trying to have my devotions. I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to do. But I've been encouraged by my brothers and my cell group, very much so, on a regular basis. And no, it's not perfect cell group. There's days we don't connect. You're right. There's days we don't connect. But I've also been encouraged by Pastor Kevin and Pastor Pat. And a few weeks back here, I've been coming to see Kevin, once a month we get together. He goes, how are you doing? Are you in the Word? Are you doing what you should be doing for your wife? Are you doing these things that you need to be doing? He doesn't pull any punches. And I say, yeah, no, not here, yes, there, no. And it's kind of like, I share my heart with him, what's really how I'm doing. And it's been an encouragement. And the last time we got together, I think one of the things he told me, and this is, I know God works in strange ways. This is one of the things he told me, and Kevin said to me, he said, you need to get plugged in, back in the church. Get your feet back into helping people. You know, I've been on a mission trip since then, but I want to do more. I want to be involved. He says, you need to get back into people's lives. And that hit me, because that's what I love doing. I love being a brother to these guys here in this room, and people I meet and know, and see how I can encourage them. So Pastor Kevin directly encouraged me to get back involved, whether it's just find people, seek people out, get to know them, see how you can be a part of their life. See how you can encourage them. I think there's other guys in this room that probably struggle with some of the stuff that I've been through. And I can encourage. I want to encourage best I can. So I met with Kevin a few weeks ago. That was the number one thing that we discussed in our topic. And I walked out of the office, and who should be walking in the office and say, hey, quit putting money in the plate, or keep putting money in the plate, but get involved in the church. Well, if you can imagine who that was, Pastor Pat. I mean, he didn't even know what we were talking about. And he said, and it's like, yeah, you're right. I know. I already just got done talking to Kevin about it. But you know, that's just how God uses things like that. But, you know, the guys in my cell group, some good friends, some good Christian brothers, have been an encouragement to me. That's all I can say about it.
Thanks, Dean. Corey.
You know, I just think back to a few years ago when we were starting small groups here at the church. And, you know, I grew up with kind of the feeling that, or kind of an environment where you walked in the church doors, you put on a smile, you know, and you acted like you had everything together, even though you really didn't. And I remember hearing from Pastor Mark somehow that we were going to start small groups, and we were kind of involved with it. And I remember thinking, I don't know, you know, if we really want to do this, we've got a lot going on, and you know, this and that, and I didn't know it, but God knew that that's exactly what I needed, and from the very first week that we met, I realized this was a big hole in my life, you know, having other guys you know, around me, not just to talk about football, as Abe talked about, but to really challenge me. You know, even as I heard Abe talking about Greg and Josh and the relationship that they have, and Dave and Pastor Pat and the relationship that they have, you know, I was thinking, you know, what's the mindset that they have to have an attitude like that? I mean, are they so interested in making much of themselves, or are they interested in making much of God? And if we have that, if we just want to make much of ourselves in life, we are going to be so resistant to that type of relationship. And I just thought of Proverbs 9, 8, and 9. It says, "Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." And we need each other. We need challenges, and we need to be pushed. We need encouragement, and we need constructive criticism, as Dean talked through it. But most of all, we need one another, and God has put us around each other for a purpose, and that's meant a lot to me.
Thank you, Corey.
I meet with a couple of guys every Sunday morning, Brady Weber and Josh Jorgensen for the last 2.5 years, and Brady for the last year, I think. And I can't tell you how many times we've met that God's been there speaking through them with a word of encouragement or reproof. And a lot of reproof seems like more reproof than encouragement. But I honestly think that's God presses you a lot more during the affliction and difficulty. We really get in each other's faces on areas of lust. You know, have you fallen? Have you told your wife? Have you asked for forgiveness and move forward? And but also on a lot of different levels, I was thinking of earlier in Galatians, because we were there, when Paul opposes Peter to his face, and he says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" And more than really pressing us in areas of morality, I've noticed that the Lord has really been convicting me on how is my conduct in line with the gospel, and how does that paradigm really work in my relationship with Krista or parenting on so many levels, and it's been great.
Thanks. We're going to have to wrap it up here, but that's a great segue, because I think that's the question that we have to ask ourselves, like, so why do we need to encourage each other? So that we feel good? So that we look good? Wow, good job. You guys are great. Man, you're spiritual. So that God gets the glory, so that God is elevated above us, as Corey said and as Jordan said, you know. That's the goal, is that God's using one another to bring him the most glory. And you think about that, you think about, like, man, I have an opportunity. God might give me a verse or a thought or something in my mind that I have an opportunity to give to somebody that can totally challenge them, which then challenges them to love their spouse more, which then their spouse loves their kids more and is challenging their kids. And it's like this, you know, God gets a ton of glory in that. I mean, it's just to see that and be like, I can invest in people and make an impact, whether that's through my life or through something that I say or through something that I do, it can have a huge impact on that. One last thing before we leave. Some of you might be sitting here going, I got nobody. I have nobody to talk to. I have nobody pumping into me. I'm sure of it. But I would say, from a big level, be here amongst the brethren. Be here whenever you can. Be at the men's stuff whenever you can, to be around other believers, other people that think the same way that can encourage you. Get into a cell group. Get into a cell group. If there's not a reason why you can't be in one, get into one. Come talk to me, and we can figure out a time. And second, and lastly, I think most importantly, is pray for that person. Pray that God would give you somebody, whether it's in your cell group or somewhere else or someone at work or whatever, but pray that God would give you that man or men that would be able to encourage you, and possibly that you would be able to encourage them at the same time. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thanks for loving us so that we can love others. And we're not worthy of your love, and we're not, Lord, it's so refreshing to just even stand here and say we are wicked men and not perfect, and yet because of the gospel, we are declared righteous. We are declared a child of you, and there's just so much power in that and peace in that to know, Lord, that we fall short in so many levels, and yet we want to give you the most glory and live our lives for the most praise for your name. And may we just do that. May we love each other and challenge each other. And Lord, give us the love that we need to love one another, even difficult people, difficult times, difficult issues, that we would be able to know when to give the hard word and when to give the encouraging word. And Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for these men and what you're doing here. And we are super humbled by that. And we're super grateful at the same time.